Nice to be back in Borivali after, I think, a few years. 2 years ago, I came to Bombay hoping to be worshipping with you on a Sunday. And I arrived on a Saturday and I had to go to the hospital instead of to the assembly, and I could not come. Since that time, I've been praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to go back and see those dear people who have been remembering us in our in your prayers. And the Lord made it possible, and I am truly grateful. I would like to spend these few moments with you meditating on a person about whom we do not often hear a message. He is the son of a very famous father, and at the same time, the father of a very famous son. And I'm sure our Sunday school students know who I'm talking about. The son of a very famous father, and the father of a very, very famous son. Who gets the prize? The son of a very famous father, and not aunties and uncles. This is specially for children. And the father of a very famous son. His name is Isaac. Son of a very famous father, Abraham, and father of a very famous son, Jacob. We will read a few verses about him in Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, we'll read verses 1 to 5.
Now it came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old, I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it.
Isaac and Rebekah are excellent examples of people who started very well and did not end very well. You all know that all marriages start in jubilation, celebration, and some vanity also, and lot of fanfare, and everybody laughing, and happy, thrilled, excited, photography, videography, and now talsamay and whatnot. Starts as a great event. And as years go by, many do not end well. They start well, but somehow as years go by, their eyes become dim. Their vision is lost. Their zeal is gone. As our Lord Jesus wrote to Ephesians in the second epistle, that they lost their first love. Remember this exciting Isaac-Rebekah marriage. I'm so thrilled to read Genesis 24 again and again and again and again, and I'm never satisfied. I want to read again. Because this is the most beautiful of all the marriages. Here is this meditating, obedient, humble, graceful man of faith Isaac waiting for God to choose the best in the world for him. He didn't bother what Eliezer would do. He trusted in the God of Eliezer and the God of his father Abraham. And here was this beautiful, comely, tender-hearted, serving, committed, loyal girl of faith, Rebecca. Ready to go, and she traveled almost 3 months continuously on camelback without knowing who she was going to marry. They started so wonderfully. And the way she came out of the camel and covering her head, and how she so humbly and tenderly holds the hands of Isaac, and how they go to the tent of Sarah. You just cannot imagine anything better than this. But as years went by, they did not do well. They did not end things very well. Sad, isn't it? Remember how people used to be jealous of the way these people were walking around and sitting somewhere and talking and sharing, and how they looked at each other, and how there was this star appearing in their eyes as they looked at each other. And even Abimelech was so jealous. That was how they started. Remember, when Rebecca had a problem, Isaac would go and pray and prevail over his prayer with battle and win the battle for his wife, Rebecca. And they asked for one child, and the Lord gave them 2 children. Remember how when Rebecca had a problem, she went and prayed. There was just a praying couple, asking the Lord to bless them, working together, deeply in love and affection, living for each other and together for the Lord. But they didn't end well. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 admonishes us to examine whether we are in faith or not. Now we are all very strongly admonished this morning to examine our married lives. And those of you who are not married, the life that you are going to have as you get married in the will of the Lord, to make sure that you start well and you end well. There were a lot of people who started well and they did not end well. Their life of faith. Noah started very well, but towards the end, there is a sour in our mouth about Noah. He didn't do well at the end. King Saul started very well, the tallest among the people. Man anointed by God through Samuel did not end well. He became an abomination at the end. Jonah, he started well, but then he went the wrong way, and the Lord gave him a second chance. He preached again, there was revival, but towards the end he did not end well. Solomon, even we know how things were. Probably towards the end, he patched up everything. But through the peak part of the normal curve of his life, he messed up so sadly. Lot started very well with Uncle Abraham, but he ended very badly. Eli, he messed up. Demas, he was preaching with Paul. And where is he today? Digging for silver in Thessalonica. Ananias and Sapphira were co-workers of the apostles, and where were they towards the end of their life? You had started well. Are you going on the right track? And some of us are so good at putting up a nice camouflaged face that people think we are very pious, we are with the Lord, we have the joy of the Lord on our faces, and that everything is going well, but some of us, unfortunately, cover it up so beautifully well that even the brothers and sisters will not be able to find out if we are doing well or not. And one day it's going to come out. Richard Dehan once wrote about a man in Massachusetts, United States. The man had some problem, but nobody knew anything about it. He behaved in such a way that nobody, including his wife, knew that anything was wrong with him. And he used to read and he used to think and he used to talk very nicely. After dinner, he used to go to his room upstairs with a bundle of newspapers and magazines, and he would read and read and read and read. And it went on for several years. And the burden of hiding the truth about him was so hard and unbearable that he finally decided to reveal his problem. You know what his problem was? He was illiterate. He could not read and write. But he beautifully, with the help of his behavior, camouflaged. He hid wonderfully his problem of ignorance, whereas in 3 months he could have learned the language and excelled in literature. He thought it was easier to hide. And the burden was so great that one day he had to come out in the open and said, "I'm sorry, I'm illiterate." We often hide. Others don't know what's going on. And we pretend to be pious. We pretend that our family lives are heaven on earth, but sometimes our children know that it is hell on earth. Yet we pretend. There were some who started well. We know that people like Joseph and Daniel, Nehemiah, they started their life of faith very well. Enoch. Well, Jacob, he didn't start very well, but he ended very well. To the extent which this frail old man was able to go and bless Pharaoh, who was the greatest emperor of his times. Now, come back to Isaac. He has been going on for several years, and now he has become old and his eyes were so weak. In some translations, his eyes were dim that he could no longer see. His vision is gone. He is not able to see properly. His sight is gone. His faith is gone. Look at the way things are at his situation. His faith was so weak and his vision was gone to the extent which he was able to condone the ungodly life of his son Esau and call him for patriarchal blessings. He had forgotten the fact that the younger will rule over the elder, commanded by God Almighty. He had forgotten all about it. His vision is gone. And now his spiritual appetite is gone. He is thinking about venison, game meat, so he could enjoy and fulfill the desires of his flesh. And he calls the ungodly son. Now, Rebecca was there. Why didn't he call Rebecca? That's why I said, it didn't end well. You have to be very careful. Rebecca, dear. And then Rebecca would come. "Yes, honey. You remember how you used to cook that nice curry many years ago?" "Yes, dear. I remember that curry. Will you please make one more of those? I really love to eat that curry." God has given you to me. You have been a blessing to me. Only through you, God would bless me. And my children have come through you. You are the center of my happiness as God gives you to me. Please make that cut. Is that what he said? He called the ungodly son. His vision is gone. His memory is lost. God commanded, the younger will rule over the elder. He forgot. Now, if he had forgotten that, what should he have done? He should have again called, Rebecca dear, again, yes honey, you don't mind, do you? I don't know, what do you call your dear ones secretly? Or what do you call them in your mind? Maybe you call them some other harsh. But you know, you are accountable to God for your Rebecca or your Isaac. You are accountable to God. In God's book of records, it is written as to what you are thinking about him or her. So he should have called Rebecca and said, Rebecca, yes dear, what did God tell us about that blessing? I've forgotten. That's what he should have said, right? Now he is depending on his own fleshly mind. And he is calling his ungodly, backslidden son who has married two heathen women. Chapter 26 and verse 35 says, these two women were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebecca. Now when they were a source of grief, how would you call this man again to bless him? Your vision is gone. And then again, he has a wrong perception about his own death. See verse 2, he says, Isaac said, I am now old, I am an old man and don't know the day of my death. Is this really true? Now, as we study this particular chapter and subsequent chapters, we find that he would have lived at least 30 to minimum 35 more years after this incident. And some calculations give up to about 70 years. So, he had a wrong, fleshly, ungodly perception about what God was doing in his life. Do you have the right perception about what God is doing in your life? Is he speaking to you and me every day to tell us what his plans are for us and how he is leading us day after day after day? Or is it all gone because our vision is gone? Our faith is gone. We are now holding on to the wonderful things that this world is offering. Now his spiritual appetite is gone. He has a fleshly appetite. Instead of having fellowship with his wife Rebecca and enjoying the greatness of the blessings that the Lord would give them together, which they would eat with prayer, he's after the venison, the game meat curry of his son, his ungodly son. And now he is ready to bless him also. Oh, what a horrible way. The once man of faith, meditating, obedient, humble man of faith who started so well. Now he is ending very, very, very sadly. Look at Rebecca. Is she any better? You probably think it's all the fault of Isaac. Look at Rebecca, verse 5. Are you listening carefully? Rebecca, verse 5. Now Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. This is what we call in English language eavesdropping. When dear Isaac is speaking, beloved Rebecca is hiding behind near the door peeping and slowly listening. What is Achayan telling Amama? This son. Rebecca, what happened to you? Rebecca, if you have seen that your beloved Isaac has a vision problem, are you not the help me to provide him with that vision and help him and revive his spirit so that you would both still walk according to the will of God? What should Rebecca done? Your sisters tell me. She should have gone in, right? Right, brother Philip? She should have gone in. Would you like it? Would you say, hey, shut up, get out, go to kitchen? Is that what you say? Sisters are supposed to be quiet in the assembly, so you are out. She should have come in and say, hello, dear. You remember what our Lord told us when these boys were born? Yes, dear Rebecca, I have forgotten. What was it that the Lord told us? That she should have been reminding him. Don't go the wrong way. Don't go the world's way. Don't go the fleshly way. Don't go the way of sight. But go by the way of faith. She should have reinforced the promise of God to him so that together they would have once again walked by faith. She eavesdropped. See the situation of communication in the family? Father and son has one alignment. Mother and another son have another alignment. There are two teams scoring goals at each other. One team scoring one goal. Then the other team would come and score the other goal. Even. And then they go to sleep. Tomorrow they do the same thing. Now this is happening in believers' homes. Sadly. Nothing should ever stand in between Isaac and Rebecca. Nothing. Father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, nobody. Secondly, Rebecca is very, 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 very sure. What happened to that humble, little, soft, tender, loving, sweet Rebecca? Now she is conniving against her own beloved Isaac. Sad, isn't it? Sad, isn't it? Is that what is happening in your home today? You know, everything is fine in Sunday morning, everything is fine. We all know that Sunday morning, everything is praise the Lord, hallelujah. But that's not the same Sunday afternoon. Rebecca, verse 6. Rebecca said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard. Look at that word. I overheard. I eavesdropped and heard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. The two teams are now making their game plan. Look how the sadly Rebecca is scheming against her own husband. Do we have such things happening in our families? The word of God is written for our admonition. There is no reason for us to hide these things. And when children see this as they grow up, they replicate this in their own families, and we find far more conflicts in younger families than ever before among our assemblies in India. I've been meeting and counseling quite a lot of people. How do these young people learn these things? They learn from their dad and their mom. Now Rebecca is conniving against her husband. She is scheming for her son. She is preparing him to lie. We know the story. We don't have to repeat the story again. She is making him lie about him to his father. She is making him dress up in such a way that he would look like Esau in front of his father so that he could steal away what God has promised. Rebecca, can we ever expect you to do this? Have you fallen so fast from grace to the fleshly thinking and way of life and become so materialistic? Who has influenced you? Maybe the serials at 7 o'clock have influenced you. I don't have a TV, so I don't know what they are, but I am told that these things are slowly influencing our people. You know, the world is trying to attack our families, and the world doesn't give us rat poison in big balls. You know how rats are killed? If you take a whole ball, you know, big ball of rat poison, no rat will eat. So we mix half a teaspoon of rat poison in a big plate full of rice nicely. We take balls and keep it here and there. The rat will come, it will taste the rice and eat it, and will go away, and slowly in the next 2-3 hours, the rat will die. So, in small increments, the world is putting these types of germs into the hearts and lives of our believers through the media, through technology, through the various attractions of entertainment, and they kill us slowly, one by one. Rebecca is conniving, scheming against her own husband. How sad, eh? And she's also saying, if there is a curse, let the curse fall. The son is saying, Mama, Daddy will curse me. Don't worry, if there is a curse, let the curse fall on me. Can you imagine how a believer sister would say, let God's curse through her husband will fall on her, and that she would have the tenacity, the boldness to face it for temporary satisfaction. For her scheme to be successful, for her will to be done over and above the will of the Father. She is taking the curse on herself. Nobody asked her to do such things. If only she had gone directly through the will of God and helped Isaac to get over this difficulty, she would have gone wonderfully, successfully, for the joy of the Lord to fill her heart. She said, let the curses on me come on me. That was the last day she saw Jacob. She could not see him any longer. He ran away. He had to run for life, because this scheme was making Esau a murderer. He was ready to murder. I'll kill this boy. She invited the curse on herself. And she is teaching her son trickery, how to trick the daddy. So who is better, Isaac or Rebecca? Sisters will all be on Isaac's side, and brothers will be all on Rebecca's side, right? Now the Lord is watching, and he has written this for us to learn from. Now it takes a diamond to cut a diamond. Any of you in Bombay involved in diamond industry, you know what I mean by that. A diamond is so hard that it takes another diamond to cut diamond, right? So, here are two diamonds for God, Isaac and Rebecca, and the enemy will take both of them and cut each other, and the family will be destroyed. And life will become most miserable. Let me tell you something. All marriages start in jubilation. But on this side of the rapture, all marriages end in tears. You understand that? All marriages on this side of the rapture, Dr. Koshimathew, I hope I am right. Theologically, I am right. On this side of the rapture, one of these days, you're going to sit in front of the casket of your dear one and cry. And at that time, will you be saying, oh, I wish I treated him a little better. I wish I cooked a little better curry for him so that he would not need to go after Esau for his worldly curry. I wish I had sang one more song for him. And I wish I had massaged his hand a little more. I wish I had bought that one more sari for her. I wish I had purchased this for her, taken her to Taj Mahal, yes. If you are planning to go to Taj Mahal, don't go alone. Go with your Isaac or your Rebecca. Because it's a very touching place. And if a worldly man like Shah Jahan had so much love for his wife Mumtaz, how about us believers? How do you express your love to your mate? How do you express it? This is Airtel company some years ago had a slogan. I don't know if you remember it. It used to say, Airtel, express yourself. I don't know, any of you remember that slogan? Do you remember? Express yourself. How do you express yourself? Do you express your love to your mate? And those of you who are not yet married, are you preparing to express your love to your mate when the Lord gives that person to you in your life? I know about a six-year-old boy who some years ago, when he had a brother born, his grandfather asked him a question. His mom's father asked him a question. He said, hey, who does dad love more? Usually, grandfathers in Kerala play such games with their grandchildren just to irritate them, you know. But this boy had a spontaneous answer. The grandfather asked, who does your dad love more? You know, two boys? And this boy spontaneously said, daddy loves mummy more. That's nice, eh? Will you say like that about your dad and mom? I don't know who your dad and mom are. Like, see, that boy was able to see that in spite of the fact that the daddy loved both the boys so much, they realized that daddy's first love was mummy. Will Esau and Jacob say the same? My daddy, you know, he loves my mom so much. Or will Rebecca love him more than the boys? There are a lot of families where when children are born, the love is shifted from the husband to the children or the wife to the children. Unscriptural. Is it? Is it not? It's unscriptural. You still have to love your mate. Now, this is where Rebecca had this very serious problem. So, all marriages end in tears, they start in joy. So remember, you're going to one of these days sit there, except for the rapture. And at that time, You should have no reason to grieve about what you had not done to love and to cherish and to serve and to fulfill in your married life. And when you cut each other, you both will win. But your children will be disgraced. I've been counseling quite a few young married couples, and I find that most of their problems have come from the way their father and mother treated each other. They learned wrong, unbiblical, fleshly, worldly lessons, and they are now practicing it. Now, Isaac and Rebecca, they prayed for each other. They prayed together. That's what we read in chapter 26. How much do we pray with each other? How much we pray together? And if God has given you a gift, the most precious gift after your salvation is your life partner. And your children need to learn this lesson, my dear brothers and sisters. And the only school in which they will learn this is not in a camp. ABC is good, but this lesson they will not learn there. They will only listen to some of the scriptural things. But this lesson they need to learn in their homes. So when the Lord gives you the best of the gifts, give it back to the Lord. Submit your partner to the Lord. And also the children. Quite often we become so possessive of our children that we try to maneuver and manipulate their lives to make them go the way we want, and they mess up. They mess up. You know, Hannah, she prayed for one child, one son. And she got how many? She got 6. That's our God. He is ready and willing to give us full of blessings, provided whatever He gives us will be given back to Him. And if we are able to give ourselves back to Him, and with all that we have, He keeps giving us more and more spiritual blessings. So what's our conclusion today? Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves. Today it is important that you sit together and examine your life to see if there are lapses and if we can learn some lessons from the life of Isaac and Rebecca and straighten out things at home. If there are things to confess, Rebecca, I'm sorry, I asked Esau for this curry. My dear, forgive me. I should have asked you. Right? 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 And then, Isaac, you know, I should have asked you what you wanted, what you liked. Instead, I was eavesdropping, and I'm very sorry. I should not have done that. I've committed a crime before God. He brought us together. Now, I was scheming. We don't read those things there, but that's the way it has to be reconciled. I'm sorry for what I have done. And that's when heaven will be happy. And God wants to touch our lives. He wants to touch the lives of our children and their families. Every girl ought to know how to love and cherish and obey her husband by the way her mother loves her father. Scriptural? Yes. Every boy ought to know how to love and cherish and support and strengthen his wife by the way his dad loves his mother. And if you have not been that example, you have lost your children. They may be born again, baptized, but their married life is going to be difficult because you have not taught them in the school of family. Today, Isaac and Rebecca stand out to be two people who started very well and they did not end well. And it is time for us to confess our own way. None of us has a perfect marriage. We all had our lapses. But we need to come back. There is always a way back to God. We need to come back and say, Lord, in whatever, please show me in whatever way I have hurt the feelings of my life partner. The greatest gift you have given me to cherish and love and fulfill and to reconcile. And he is inviting us to go forward and to touch each other's life in a more splendid and marvelous manner. Shall we pray? God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for these simple, valuable truths that you have brought before us this afternoon, this morning, as we meditate on the life of Isaac and Rebecca. Oh, they started so well, O Lord, and you were with them as you united them. But we are very sure that your heart was grieved as they did not end well. Oh, may these things do not happen to us. May we be more sensitive to the needs of the partners you have given us. May we prepare our children to accomplish such a kind of life in their future also. Oh, we pray that we become accountable to you for the way we treat, the way we talk, the way we do everything with our life partners. If there are lapses, we want to confess it. Oh Lord, we are sorry for treating our life partners in the wrong way. Lord, we treat the worldly people, our co-workers, our subordinates, our bosses, so wonderfully. We smile at them. We use nicest words to them. But we often forget to do the same at home. We pray that you will help us. Strengthen us, O Lord, and our children. We pray that our lives, our family lives, and the lives of our children and their families will all be acceptable to you, as they live for your glory and your honor. O Lord, if there is one who is hurt here, for any reason whatsoever that we have mentioned here, we pray that you will heal those wounds and strengthen those lives. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you that you have spoken, and we acknowledge it from you, giving you glory, honor, praise, worship, and adoration, in and through Jesus Christ our Lord.